The Million Dollar Coffin. Your luxury yacht is a floating catastrophe. You spent $1 million on a boat. Let me rephrase that. You spent $1 million on what you think is your apocalypse insurance policy, your escape pod, your floating fortress that's going to carry you to safety while everyone else scrambles on land like peasants. Wrong. That yacht sitting in the marina right now, that beautiful 50-footer with the teak deck and the leather interior and the espresso machine, it's not salvation. It's the most expensive mistake you'll ever make. And in the next 15 minutes, I'm going to mathematically prove exactly why your luxury escape plan is actually a suicide mission you're paying slip fees for. We're using the 4-point Z-score matrix: defensibility, sustainability, mobility, psychological impact. Four categories, four brutal scores, one final number that's going to sink your nautical fantasies faster than the Titanic hit that iceberg. And unlike Jack and Rose, you won't even get the romantic freezing in the Atlantic part. You'll just get the slow realization that you bet everything on the wrong asset. Because here's what the yacht salesman didn't tell you. Here's what those glossy brochures with the sunset cocktails conveniently left out. Your boat is designed for weekend cruises, not sustained apocalyptic operations. It's built for showing off, not surviving. And every system on that vessel is optimized for a world that's about to stop existing. So buckle up, this is going to hurt, but you need to hear it before you cast off those lines thinking you've outsmarted the collapse. Let's break down exactly why your yacht is a floating catastrophe wrapped in fiberglass and delusion. The theoretical lie: nautical superiority. The yacht industry sold you a fantasy: freedom, escape, unlimited horizon. Those marketing materials showed you secluded coves and crystal water, and the implicit promise that boat ownership equals independence. The messaging was clear: land is chaos, water is control. Your 40-foot cruiser is a mobile fortress that runs on diesel and superiority. Complete garbage. Your yacht is a hyper-complex machine that requires constant maintenance, specialized fuel, calm weather, navigational expertise, and a supply chain that evaporates the second society hiccups. It's not a survival platform. It's a leisure toy that happens to float. The same way a Lamborghini is in a bug-out vehicle just because it has wheels. You bought status, not utility. You purchased the illusion of escape without understanding the brutal logistics that make oceanic survival actually work. Pre-apocalypse, your biggest concern was whether the water maker was making the ice clear enough for your gin and tonic. Post-collapse, you're going to be staring at that same water maker, wondering why it's producing brine while your fuel gauge drops to empty and the nearest port is overrun with panicked refugees who will absolutely take everything in your tank. But sure, tell me again how marine life is the answer. Defensibility, the glass castle on waves. Let's start with the most obvious problem. Your yacht has the defensive capability of a glass house in a hurricane. It's designed to be sleek, not fortified. Every surface is optimized for hydrodynamics and aesthetics, which means thin fiberglass, large windows, and absolutely zero consideration for hostile boarding attempts. You're thinking water is your moat, that distance equals safety, that the infected can't swim and raiders won't bother with boats. Wrong on all counts. The infected are buoyant. They don't drown, they sink and walk along the bottom or float along currents until they wash up on whatever shore you thought was safe. The Walking Dead already showed you this. Water delays them, it doesn't stop them. And when you anchor near land to scavenge supplies, which you absolutely will have to do, they're coming. But the infected aren't even your primary threat. Humans are, and humans have boats too. Probably faster ones, definitely more desperate ones. Your luxury yacht is a floating billboard advertising resources. It screams fuel, food, fresh water, and shelter. Every other survivor with binoculars can see you from miles away. And unlike your climate-controlled cabin, they've got nothing to lose. Boarding your yacht is trivially easy. Most yachts have multiple low freeboard access points: boarding platforms, boarding ladders, side doors at waterline. You can't defend those simultaneously. You're not a military vessel. You don't have gun ports or armored plating or even basic ballistic protection. A determined raider with a grappling hook and a knife is getting aboard, and your teak deck isn't going to stop them. Let's talk about your offensive capability. What are you working with? A flare gun? Maybe a fishing spear gun? your personal firearm if you were smart enough to bring one, but now you're dealing with recoil and shot placement on an unstable platform while someone rushes you across 15 feet of deck. Close quarters combat on a boat is a nightmare. Tight spaces, no cover, slippery surfaces, and if you fire that gun, every other boat with an audible range now knows exactly where you are. Your only real defensive advantage is distance. Stay offshore, stay moving, avoid contact entirely. Except that strategy directly conflicts with every other survival requirement. You need to resupply, you need to fish, you need to find safe harbor during storms, you need parts and fuel, and eventually you need land. The moment you close that distance, your defensive advantage evaporates and you're just another target floating in a very exposed position. Structural integrity during attack, laughable. A Molotov cocktail turns your fiberglass hull into a floating inferno. Ramming damage from a larger vessel cracks your hull below the waterline. Sustained gunfire punctures fuel tanks and electrical systems. You cannot armor a yacht without destroying its performance characteristics. You cannot retrofit defensive positions without major structural modification that requires a boatyard you no longer have access to. You are fundamentally, irreparably exposed. Defensibility score, 3.5 out of 10, and that's being generous because at least you're not on land, but you're one aggressive encounter away from sinking, burning, or boarding, and you have almost no tools to prevent any of those outcomes. Sustainability, the logistics nightmare. Now let's talk about the part where your yacht becomes a floating resource black hole that slowly consumes you through operational demands. Fuel consumption. Your average cruising yacht burns between 3 and 10 gallons of diesel per hour, depending on speed and displacement. Let's be conservative and say 5 gallons per hour. You're carrying maybe 300 gallons in your tanks if you topped off before the collapse. That gives you 60 hours of engine time. 60 hours, not 60 days, 60 hours of actual operation. A cruising speed that's maybe 600 nautical miles before you're adrift, and you just burn through your entire mobility advantage in less than 3 days. You're thinking you'll sail. Great. Do you actually know how to sail? Not motor with the sails up for aesthetics, actually sail. Tacking into the wind, reading weather patterns, managing sail trim in rough seas. Most yacht owners can't. They bought power cruisers, not sailboats, because sailing requires skill and effort and learning things that most people aren't going to invest in. And even if you do have a sailboat, you're now dealing with slower speeds, weather dependency, and the physical exhaustion of managing lines and rigging while also trying to survive. But let's say you're an experienced sailor with a proper sailing yacht. You've still got sustainability problems everywhere. Rigging fails, sails tear, winches jam, bilge pumps stop working, hulls develop leaks, marine growth accumulates on your hull and destroys your speed. Every system on a boat requires maintenance, that requires parts, that requires a supply chain that no longer exists. Your water maker, critical system, converts seawater to fresh water using reverse osmosis membranes that clog, degrade, and fail. Replacement membranes require ordering from specialized marine suppliers. Your water maker stops functioning, you're rationing whatever fresh water you stored, which on most yachts is maybe 50 gallons. That's enough for one person for 2 weeks if you're incredibly disciplined. After that, you're collecting rainwater and praying, or you're going ashore into contaminated areas to find questionable sources. Food. You're gonna fish. Everyone says they're gonna fish. You know what's actually involved in subsistence fishing from a yacht? Hours of effort for uncertain returns. You need tackle, bait, patience, and knowledge of what's actually edible versus toxic. You need to clean and preserve your catch without refrigeration because your electrical system isn't going to last. You're eating raw fish or cooking over a propane stove that's burning through your limited fuel supply. Scurvy becomes a real concern within months without vitamin C supplementation. You're not living some romantic Hemingway fantasy. You're slowly starving on a boat. Medical supplies. Limited. First aid kit, maybe. No antibiotics. No surgical capability. You get a serious infection from a cut, you're in trouble. You break a bone, you're crippled. You develop appendicitis or kidney stones, you're suffering until you pass out. Maritime medical evacuation doesn't exist anymore. You are alone with whatever medical knowledge you have, which, for most yacht owners, is basically putting a band-aid on and hoping. Weather vulnerability. You cannot outrun a storm system. You cannot hide from hurricanes. You're at the mercy of meteorological forces that will absolutely destroy your vessel if you're caught in the wrong place. No weather updates, no marine forecasts, no advanced warning. You're reading clouds and barometric pressure and hoping you guessed right. One bad storm, and you're swimming, if you're lucky. morale and mental sustainability. You're living in a confined space with the same people, eating the same terrible food, dealing with the same constant stress and physical discomfort. Cabins are cramped, privacy is non-existent, the motion never stops, sleep is fractured, everyone gets irritable and paranoid. Maritime psychology is real. Cabin fever on a boat is worse than on land because you can't even take a walk to cool off. Conflicts escalate, mutinies happen, self-harm becomes an option people seriously consider. Sustainability score? 2.5 out of 10. Your yacht is a resource vampire that demands constant feeding of fuel, parts, expertise, and luck. You're not achieving independence, you're just perishing slower and more expensively than if you'd stayed on land. Mobility, the catch-22 of nautical freedom. Mobility is supposed to be your yacht's primary advantage, the ability to move, to escape, to relocate at will. Unlimited freedom on unlimited ocean. Except it's not unlimited at all. Your range is limited by fuel. We covered this. 600 miles maximum before you're sailing or drifting. That sounds like a lot until you realize how much empty ocean there is and how few viable destinations exist. You need harbors with intact infrastructure or at least protected anchorages. You need areas with low population density so you're not immediately overwhelmed by refugees. You need fishing grounds and fresh water access. Those locations are finite, and everyone else with a boat is heading there too. Your speed is pathetic compared to land vehicles. Most cruising yachts do 8 to 12 knots. That's 9 to 14 miles per hour. You could walk faster in some conditions. A car does 60, a motorcycle does 100. You are slow, ponderous, visible. You cannot sprint away from threats. You cannot make sudden course corrections without losing speed. You are committed to every movement hours in advance. Navigation without GPS? Hope you know celestial navigation. Hope you have current charts. Hope you can dead reckon in fog. Most modern yacht owners are completely dependent on electronic navigation systems. GPS fails, chart plotters stop working, and suddenly you don't actually know where you are, or where the underwater rocks are, or whether that island is inhabited by friendly survivors or hostile cannibals. Shallow water restrictions. Your yacht has a draft, maybe 5 feet, maybe 8. You can't go into shallow bays or up rivers or near beaches without grounding. You're restricted to deep water, which means you're visible and exposed. Smaller boats have access to hiding spots you can't reach. You're the lumbering target while they're the agile threats. Emergency escape options. Terrible. You're on a boat. Your exits are water. That's it. Fire breaks out, you jump into the ocean and hope you don't drown or freeze or get eaten by sharks. Hull breaches? Same thing. Hostile boarding? You're jumping into the water while someone shoots at you. There's no back door, no vehicular bailout. You either control the boat or you abandon ship, and abandoning ship in most scenarios equals the end. Weather dictates all movement. Calm seas, you're golden. Rough seas, you're stuck. Storm approaching, you're running for shelter or preparing to get destroyed. You don't choose when you move based on tactical advantage. You choose based on whether the ocean will eliminate you today. That's not mobility. That's being at the mercy of forces you cannot control. Port access problems. Every marina and harbor becomes a catastrophe zone. Narrow channels, limited exit routes, concentrated populations of desperate people who see your yacht as salvation. You can't just pull up to the dock and shop anymore. You have to anchor offshore and dinghy in, which means leaving your primary asset undefended while you're exposed on land. Or you skip ports entirely, then accept that you're never resupplying. Mobility score, 4.0 out of 10. You can move, but only slowly, only with fuel, only in good weather, only in deep water, and only if you're willing to accept massive vulnerability every time you need to interact with land. That's not freedom. That's a very expensive trap with an outboard motor.
Psychological impact, maritime madness. Let's talk about what living on a yacht does to your mind, because this is where your luxury escape plan becomes a floating mental institution. Isolation. You are cut off. No internet, no communication beyond line of sight VHF radio if you're lucky. No news, no updates, no connection to the world. You don't know if rescue is coming. You don't know if there's a safe zone. You don't know if your family on land is alive or gone. You are utterly, completely alone with your thoughts and fears and the people trapped on that boat with you. That isolation breaks people. Constant motion. The boat never stops moving. Gentle rocking in calm anchorage, violent pitching in rough seas. Your inner ear never fully adjusts. Your sleep is always disrupted. You develop chronic fatigue. You lose spatial orientation. The constant motion creates low-level nausea and stress that wears you down mentally over weeks and months. nowhere to go. On land, even in a bunker, you have rooms, doors, the illusion of space. On a yacht, you have maybe 300 square feet of living area shared with multiple people. You can see everyone all the time. You can hear everything. There is no privacy, no personal space, no escape from conflict or irritation. You're in a floating prison where your cellmates are the people you're trying to survive with. Responsibility overload. Someone has to maintain the boat, navigate, stand watch, manage resources, make life or permanent consequences decisions constantly. If you're the captain, you're carrying all of that. If you're not, you're resenting whoever is. The psychological weight of keeping everyone alive while operating a complex machine in hostile conditions creates crushing stress. Threat uncertainty. You don't know what's in the water. You don't know what's on that approaching vessel. You don't know if that island is safe. Every decision is made with incomplete information and potentially catastrophic consequences. That uncertainty creates paranoia, hypervigilance, anxiety disorders. You're constantly scanning for threats that may or may not exist. Regression to primal fears. Humans are land animals. We evolved on solid ground. Deep water triggers ancient survival fears. Drowning, predation, the unknown depths below. You're living on top of an alien environment that can end you instantly if you fall in. That activates deep psychological stress responses that never fully shut off. You're afraid of the water even as you depend on it for survival. Nostalgia, torture. Your yacht represents everything you lost. Luxury, leisure, safety, civilization. Every chrome fitting and leather cushion reminds you of the world that no longer exists. You're living in a museum of your former life while struggling not to perish. That creates profound depression and resentment. The boat becomes a symbol of failure rather than escape. Social breakdown. Small group dynamics and confined stress become toxic fast. Alliances form, scapegoats get blamed, hierarchies get challenged, intimacy becomes complicated, jealousy and resentment fester. You're dealing with every bad reality TV show dynamic, except if someone gets voted off the island, they actually face consequences. Mutiny isn't a historical curiosity, it's a real possibility when people break mentally. Psychological impact score, 3.0 out of 10. Your yacht doesn't preserve your sanity, it systematically destroys it through isolation, confinement, uncertainty, and the constant reminder that you're floating on a hostile element in a collapsed world with no rescue coming. Final verdict. The Z-score. Let's add this nightmare up. Defensibility, 3.5 out of 10. You're exposed, fragile, and boardable. Sustainability, 2.5 out of 10. You're a resource vampire destined to run dry. Mobility, 4.0 out of 10. You're slow, fuel dependent, and weather restricted. Psychological impact, 3.0 out of 10. You're a floating insane asylum. Total Z-score, 13 out of 40, 32.5%. Classification, critical liability. Your million-dollar yacht isn't an asset, it's a luxury self-termination booth that takes longer than most. You traded defensibility for exposure, sustainability for complexity, and psychological stability for maritime imprisonment. You bought a gorgeous machine optimized for a world that no longer exists, and now you're stuck operating it in conditions it was never designed for, with skills you probably don't have, while slowly running out of everything that keeps it functional. Could a yacht work? Maybe. With a small, skilled crew who actually know maritime survival. With a true sailing vessel, not a power cruiser. With pre-positioned supply caches and realistic expectations. With months of preparation and training. But your yacht? The one you bought to impress your friends at the yacht club? That's not a survival platform. That's an expensive coffin that floats until it doesn't. The ocean doesn't care about your net worth. Storms don't respect your boat's retail value. And when you're adrift, with empty tanks and no supplies, watching the shoreline you can't reach, you're going to understand exactly how badly you miscalculated. You thought you were buying escape. You actually bought a very expensive way to perish tired, hungry, and alone while still making the mortgage payments in your head. The challenge. So prove me wrong. Tell me in the comments how your specific yacht setup beats these numbers. Explain your fuel strategy, your food plan, your defensive capabilities. Show me the math. Because right now, your luxury yacht scores worse than a suburban basement. And that's not my bias. That's logistics.
adapt, or survive. Preferably on solid ground.